Well, hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are back again for another week of this conversation that is born out of third space, which is called Turning Towards Life. We're 7.5 years into this conversation, and Lizzie, it's wonderful to see you this morning and welcome everyone. We're so very pleased that you're with us. And in a couple of minutes, we're going to do what we do every week, which is to start with a source, a piece of writing from someone this week that is neither you nor I, Lizzie, and then we'll read it together and unfold it together into a who knows what conversation. And one of the things that we know from having done this many, many times is that it always unfolds into something meaningful, important, often joyful. And we are very, very glad that you're all here with us in this conversation, whether you have recently found your way here, whether you've been with us for 7.5 years, whether you're someone who comes alongside us occasionally or very often, you're all equally welcome. And you can find us on all the podcast places, which maybe is where you're listening, but also on YouTube and Instagram, and at our website turningtowards.life, where you can find all the archives of videos of the conversations, all the sources, and there, if you wish, you can subscribe to an email to get this into your inbox every week. And if you want, you can support us too, which is always very joyful when any of you reciprocate by lending us some support. There's a support us button there, and you can see how that works. And we'd so love to hear from you as well. So you can email us at hello@turningtowards.life. Is a great way to find us. And I think that's enough of the introductions, Lizzie. I'm going to hand over to you.
Thank you, Justin. I just want to add my voice to people being in touch with us. It's so fun and excellent to receive emails from people to say hello. And we've had a little flurry this week of exchanges, and the joy it brings to hear and feel and receive someone's receiving of Turning Towards Life and us is really wonderful. So somebody this week, Justin, I really enjoyed the Gavin's articulation of win and wise. He called us win and wise as if we were a couple of comedians or something. And I just feel really grateful that people see us and really hold us in this practice. That's how I was feeling in that little email exchange with Gavin. So Gavin, thank you for being honest and true and fun and supporting us the way that you do. And so many others have emailed us over the time, Justin, and I just want to say how grateful and how much I love that. That's my favourite thing, receiving emails from people, so thank you. And if you want to do that yourself, it's hello@turningtowards.life, not hello@lizzieandjustin.com. hello@turningtowards.life is how you can find us, and we would love to hear from you. So before I give any other false email addresses out, we're going to start with this source by Joseph Campbell, which, Justin, is entirely, as usual, when I bring things, discombobulating. I feel like discombobulation is the sign that I'm onto a source that's got something good in it. I'm trusting that it's kind of breaking open any structures that I have and finding its way through my habitualness to some new territory. And so instead of thinking, oh, well, I don't know what that's about, I'm not going to bring it, I think, well, I should bring it because I'm going to find out what it's about by being here with you. So it's not like I understand this or know what it is. All I know is that when I read it, I was like, oh God, yes, something in me is going a big yes, and I don't really understand. So that's the context for the source. And we'll see where we get to in the uncovering and unfolding, as you said, of what this is. So it's from The Power of Myth by Joseph Campbell. And it goes like this. People say that what we're all seeking is a meaning for life. I don't think that's what we're really seeking. I think that what we're seeking is an experience of being alive, so that our life experiences on the purely physical plane will have resonances with our own innermost being and reality, so that we actually feel the rapture of being alive.
Ulysses. I think I want to say, I'll read it again in one second, but one of the things it's probably worth saying is to point everyone to our work at Third Space, which you can find at wearethirdspace.org, because what you just said, Lizzie, about encountering something which in some way is an interruption, like a doorway into which we can walk because we don't really know yet what it means, but it somehow arrests us in some way. That's right at the heart of all of the coaching work that we do and we teach at Third Space. And I was thinking, as you were introducing this source, that we have a few dates for our 2-day Foundations of Coaching program coming up, which you can find at wearethirdspace.org, where one of the things we talk about is the necessity of interruptions in our lives and how to respond to them. And that one of the ways to respond is to run or try to shut them down, but the other way is to walk wholeheartedly towards them and into them and into the life that can unfold when we really allow ourselves to be surprised, interrupted, confused, discombobulated. It's a huge part of our work, and it felt important to say. And with that, I'm going to read this source, which you can find in the show notes and on tonytools.life, and you can get the email with it in if you wish. People say that what we're all seeking is a meaning for life. I don't think that's what we're really seeking. I think that what we're seeking is an experience of being alive so that our life experiences on the purely physical plane will have resonances with our own innermost being and reality, so that we actually feel the rapture of being alive.
Thank you, Justin. It's so wonderful that we read to each other, by the way, because in you're reading to me as I'm quiet in myself. It's different than concentrating on reading. And so when you read to me, all these different things come, and I really appreciate that that's what how we do this. So the thing that is there first in me is to say, I don't know really why I'm here. I don't have a meaning. I mean, there are meaningful thing, many meaningful things in my life. But in a kind of ultimate sense, I'm not sure I know why we're here. So I think this resonates with me because it kind of let me off the hook from knowing what life is for or something. Because what it does is positions then this opportunity to consider what our life experiences might be that our innermost being in reality is resonant with the physical experience of being alive. And that I can kind of find myself in. You know, this longing to have my life exist in a way where there's coherence, where there's integration, where I'm not hiding something back the whole time, but I'm living, I'm practicing, I'm being. What's on the inside is on the outside. I know that really deeply for myself. Like, I don't want to be hidden. I don't want to be managing my image all the time. I don't want to be making people think something of me so that I feel better about myself. I want to be real. I want to be here with you. And I want there to be like nothing held back. And I can feel that on a bodily level too. Like, I want to exist in my body in a way that feels as free as the inside or shows what's difficult on the inside. Like, I want there to be coherence between the inner and the outer life that I have. And what Joseph Campbell's saying, I think, is that when those things do have resonances, whatever that alignment is, there is an aliveness that's inside of that. And being fully alive feels extremely important to me. Like, why would I even want to be human if I didn't want to be fully alive? Like, I always say to myself when things are difficult, well, this is also life. So I have to turn towards it. It's not, this is not, not, this is not life. It's like it all is here, it all belongs here. So how do I include it in my life and how do I live it? How do I allow it to be here without needing to wish it away? And of course, there are a thousand things that are so hard to turn towards. But the question of aliveness is a deep motivation to do that, because I know that aliveness is something that I want and I long for and feels like a very, very coherent reason with my system of why we would want to be here in the first place, is because we did say I want to live, and then to live means to live at all. A little bit like our source last week, I think maybe it was the week before, of living everything. Everything means everything. And this source, I think, points us more deeply into that our life experiences have resonance with what's inside.
That's right. A couple of weeks ago, Lizzie, we were reading Rainer Maria Rilke saying that the point of life is to live everything. Well, I'm really with you on this starting place. And it seems to me that one way of looking at this is, if we look at what it is actually like to live our lives, the first thing that we have is the experience of living. Before anything else, before meaning, before love, before anything goes our way, and even if nothing is going our way, the one thing that we have, in fact, the only thing that we have that we can be sure of, is that I am experiencing this. Beyond that, it's actually hard to be really sure of anything else. I mean, I think it's reasonable to be sure of other things, but in terms of direct experience, all we have is that we experience. So I experience being with you, and I experience being with my family, and I experience sitting in this chair. And I suppose one of the things that I know about myself that seems very true, must be true of everyone, is that we can be more or less in contact with what it is that we're experiencing. There are some periods of my life where my experience of my life is actually not the experience of living. It's the experience of having got distracted, or it's the experience of having been absent or tuned out or something. Now, that's an experience too, but it's not the kind of experience that Joseph Campbell is talking here, which is where what's happening around us and what's happening inside us resonate in some way. They are connected, so that our innermost being and reality, to quote him, so we feel, he calls it the rapture, but the deep wonder and feeling of being alive, which is the only thing we'll ever have. You can't, when our lives end, we don't take anything else with us. We don't take our relationships with us. We don't take our possessions with us. And if any of us who've ever been around somebody who's dying, we know that those things recede. And but the one thing that is true all the way is our stream of experience. So I suppose the first way that I read this is as a reminder to wake up, that however my life is going, and it may be going as I wish, or it may be going very, very differently to how I wish, I have the choice to either allow my inner world and the outer world to be connected by being awake so that they resonate with one another, or I can try and withdraw and, you know, this is the thing I know really well, I can withdraw and protect myself, try and withdraw and protect myself from the world because it isn't the way that I want it. And the cost of that is actually, in a way, the ultimate cost, which is of not having been in contact with my own life. And given that no amount of money or possessions or anything substitutes for the actual experience of living, because they only mean something when we experience them as well, it seems to me that Joseph Campbell is saying, wherever you find yourself, whatever you find yourself in, to the extent that you can, your first and most important task is to make sure you're actually in contact with your life. Now, little caveat, there are all kinds of reasons why we withdraw when we're in terrifying and difficult situations, and I don't want to diminish that for a moment. But I'm talking about the ordinary everyday. In the ordinary everyday, and actually in many situations where we might be tempted to withdraw, it seems to me that Campbell is saying to us, no, please don't do that, because experience is all there is. for being a human. If you're not experiencing it, it's not there. Like if you're in a coma or you're asleep, whatever's happening isn't present to you. It is only present because you're in contact with your experience, which means there's something in us which can be in contact or not in contact with what we experience. There's something before experience in us. But that's what we can do.
For some reason, Justin, as you're talking, it's making me think, you know, you said, you know, if we're asleep or in a coma. And I was thinking something about sleep feels also resonant here. In that something to do with, you know, dreaming and what's calling to us. This word innermost is really touching me at the moment. Like, what is most innermost in me? And I think my dreams feel very innermost. Like they come out and I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know that was in me. But it is, because it's there and it's come through my imagination or whatever goes on. I don't know what sleep actually is, but when I'm asleep, things happen. And there's something about my innermostness is revealed in my dreams. And I'm just beginning to get very, very curious about them, to see what they're, which way I could interpret them that would have my innermost being be more revealed to me. Because I also think when we talk about innermost, for lots of us, it's a massive journey to go inwards. So to be talking about the matching of innermost being and reality, and to feel this rapture of being alive, it also invites us to be in relationship to the innermostness of us, which is not a dominant thing that we get invited into. And certainly I haven't in my life, in the ordinariness of things. People haven't stopped me when I was 18 and said, well, so how does this feel to be choosing the thing you're choosing, or to not be doing that thing, or to be in this set of relationships? Like, tell me what's going on the inside. Like, that never happened to me until later. So I don't think it's very normal to do it. And it feels like a very big, important thing to be doing in order to feel this aliveness that Joseph Campbell's talking about, so that there is some resonance to be had. Because I think the inner life is there. And in my life, it has certainly felt entirely and completely unavailable at times. I'm just like, I'm just doing stuff. I'm just getting on with my life. I'm just, you know, being busy. And the inside doesn't get a look in until something big happens. Like you're saying at the beginning, these openings, these interruptions are like a guide back to the inner life. Like they tell us something. They're leading us. They have significance. They're leading us somewhere. And if we turn towards them, this opportunity of aliveness is deepened, is more on offer to us. And I think that's part of, you know, as I'm reading this and being with you in this conversation now, Justin, maybe this is part of the resonance of this source for me, is that it is a big request for us to be open to those interruptions so that they can reveal our innermost life. And then we can seek the kind of aliveness that's on offer to us by those innermost lives coming to find us through interruptions. Like they find a way through. So when I think about the times that I have been in touch with my innermostness, when I was a young one, younger one, I'm very young now, is there was always something there that I needed to learn, that I needed to acclaim, that I needed to find out about, in order that my life had coherence, in order that my path got enriched, in order that I met different people, you know, that my path was laid by having a way of turning towards my interruptions in my life, so that my inner life got revealed to me, so that I got to know myself, like what my soul, I don't know, messages were for me through the kind of happenings in my life. So I'm feeling very curious, like this is curious making this source to me about what it means to turn inward and wonder what it's like to be this one What are my longings? What are the interruptions in my life now, and where are they leading me? And how do they enable me to find out about my substance, who I am, what I'm about, really, really? And then as I wonder about that, I can feel that that is in itself a source of aliveness, that I know myself, that to know myself is to feel alive, and to not be compartmentalizing and wasting my energy on pushing things away, but just letting what's here truly be here. And I think that's the spirit in which I'm trying to listen to my dreams at the moment as well, is, well, dreams are in my experience. The content of them is in my experience. What is it to turn towards them and wonder what kind of invitation they're making to my innermost being? And how can I follow that in service of this rapture of being alive?
I think you're, in a way, what I hear is you pointing us, Lizzie, towards this way in which we humans can forget ourselves so easily. So typically we're experiencing a rich array of sense impressions from the world around us. Everything that's happening that's not in our own bodies is coming our way, and we're seeing it and tasting it and feeling it and all of that. And then also what's arising inside us is this very, very rich stream of inner aliveness that comes to us from what it feels like to be us, and all the imagining and dreaming and wondering and feeling and hoping and longing and desiring and all of that that arises inside us. And I one way I could take what you're saying is as an invitation to bring both of those really in close contact with one another so that they can each inform one another. And I was thinking about over the last few weeks, we've read Parker Palmer and also Mark Nepo, who both talk about the necessity of contact between inner and outer. And Parker Palmer has this lovely a metaphor of the Möbius strip, which is one of those strips that goes on forever because it's twisted. The inside becomes the outside, becomes the inside, becomes the outside. And that in order to live fully, we have to keep on bringing our inside in contact with the outside, and the outside letting it touch the inside, so that everything, our dreams, imaginations, our wondering, our love, our ingenuity, our longing, and who and what we meet in the world can come into contact with one another. And you could really say, it's occurring to me to say that maybe when Joseph Campbell talks about resonances between our own innermost being and reality, that really what he's talking about is a kind of intimacy, which also comes back to something we talked about a few weeks ago about intimacy with life. That cultivating, instead of trying to dominate life, instead of trying to impose ourselves on life, or instead of running from life, we find a way to bring ourselves into intimate contact. And that then loops back, I think, to this part where Joseph Campbell talks about meaning, because I think meaning is important to us. It matters to us very, very often that our lives feel like they're purposeful and our contributions matter and we're up to something. And I really do understand it, and I long for it myself. And so much of the time it's really not up to us. Because whether this conversation, Lizzie, which is meaningful for me right now to be in this conversation, but the ways in which it's meaningful for you and whether it means anything to anybody out there in the world is so beyond my control. It's not up to me. That the meaning of my life or the meaning of any particular action often doesn't even find its way back to me. I may not know it at all. So the problem with seeking for meaning is a little bit like, it can be a way of suspending our lives. And well, when I get meaning, then I'll be able to live. Then I'll be able to have this intimacy with life, because then my life will be meaningful. And that may never come, because meaning, I think, is much more being made by the world in which we're in than it is being made in us. What's ultimately meaningful? Maybe then what we're called to do is to pay as much attention to our contactfulness with life as we can, and to let meaning find us. In other words, to not have it be a sort of personal ego project where I'm going to be the one who decides if my life was meaningful, but in a way And this is a good reason to pay attention to dreams. Also, it seems to me, in a way, keeping on laying ourselves open by being contactful with life to receive, to notice meaning when it arises, and we'll only ever see a tiny part of it. In other words, to be receptive to meaning rather than demand that life is meaningful for us in the way that we ordinarily want it to.
It's making me wonder, Justin, about this feeling of being called to things. You know, things come along and there is this capacity to go, oh, hold on, that feels very meaningful. I wonder what that is. That to me also seems like it's asking us for there to be a relationship between inner and outer. That if there was an intimacy there, there would be this Möbius strip flowing between what I'm experiencing and how it resonates with my inner world, so that I can follow the threads of what feels meaningful, that I can say yes to things that bring me towards aliveness. And maybe it's true that as we're in touch with our inner lives, that becomes way, way, way more possible, because our inner life includes what we love, how we feel in certain situations, what brings us alive, what has us feel joy. That if we can know that about ourselves, then the world can happen and we can recognize that on the outside and then gravitate towards those resonant things. And if we're not in touch with what's inside of us and how we really feel about life, we wouldn't be able to say yes to the things that are most meaningful. We wouldn't be able to follow the threads that appear to us, partly because we might not even be listening. I mean, I'm speaking from my own life. I'm sure so many things crossed my path and I was so out of kilter with myself, so kind of grabbing at life and consuming everything and trotting about like I was eating everything up, that I wouldn't have even noticed if somebody had smiled at me in the street or a leaflet was on my desk that was an invitation to something I would really enjoy, or, you know, I was just on a mission. And so I think this invitation to be in touch with our innermost beings is a kind of prerequisite for also knowing what belongs to us and where we belong and with whom we belong. And so I'm feeling this as a call to deepening up my relationship, our relationships with the innermostness of us, so that we get to say yes and no and discern our path, know what's ours and what's not ours, and what resonates and what doesn't resonate. And then when the resonance comes and the aliveness is there, it's a surefire sign that something of this realm that Joseph's inviting us into is happening. When my inner being feels met by what's happening out there, that's a sign that I'm an indicator that I'm in the right place, or I've made a good decision for my aliveness. So I'm feeling really grateful to Joseph Campbell and the discombobulatingness of it and the wonder of it. I'm grateful that we can bring things here, Justin, that are invitations to realms that feel like on the edge of something, but also when we get into it, feel really clear and obvious at the same time. I'm noticing that too. And thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you for knowing something of your insides that allows you to click play on this podcast. Because I think that's part of Turning Towards Life, Justin, that it means something to certain people and nothing to other people. But for the ones who it does mean something, how great that something of our inner worlds is resonating with other people's inner worlds, and that we can make this outer world expression of that so that we can be connected to one another. So we'll be back next week with a source chosen by Justin. And for now, thank you. Thank you, Justin, for this whole aliveness that this has been.
Thank you, Lizzie. And thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.